elderly people. I like, you know, to talk to elderly people. There's a lady there at the nursing home. I know Jamie knows who I'm talking about. Hazel Hager, she's going to be 105 on Groundhog Day. And, you know, her mind is fine. She's a Christian lady. Love to talk to that lady about things. You know, she talked about what she did during World War II, you know, the job that she had during World War II. She talked to us about it. But you know what she talks about most of the time? She talks about how she used to teach Sunday school class. You know, I was thinking about that. Can you imagine? You could be 80 years old and your Sunday school teacher still alive if it was Hazel Hager. Can you imagine being 80 years old and your Sunday school teacher you had when you were a kid is still alive? And she's a blessing to talk to. In the text that we're about to read, just to get us up to speed, Moses is 120 years old and still doing pretty well, I might add. And he kind of reviewed his life leading up to here. He talked about being raised in Pharaoh's, by Pharaoh's daughter in Pharaoh's court. 40 years he spent in Pharaoh's court, as a matter of fact. And then he had a 40-year period where he lived on the backside of the desert, tended sheep, kind of had some time. You know, God dealt with him on a lot of things. And then he had 40 years of leading God's people through the wilderness. And before that, the contest with Pharaoh to get out of Egypt, went through the Red Sea, that 40 years wilderness journey. And now it's time, he's coming to the end of the road. They've got the children of Israel up to the promised land. God had told him, Moses had lost his temper with the people of Israel and had smote the rock when he shouldn't have. He was supposed to have spoken to it. But God said, listen, I'm not going to, he didn't lose his salvation. You don't have to worry about that. But he said, I'm going to, you're not going to lead the people over. But, and God took his life and he buried him. God buried him himself. Nobody knows where he buried him. He had gotten to that point in his life. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, Moses said this, Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, that they would consider their latter end. And then also in the same chapter, verse 46 and 47, he said this along with other things. And he said to them, set your hearts into all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether ye go over Jordan to possess it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and I pray now that you speak to our hearts. Lord, that we have our attention where it needs to be. Lord, focus on your things, the things of you. And Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. There might be one or more here lost, or not those that may be not sure about their salvation. Lord, I pray that you speak to their heart today about it, that they'd get saved today. Come down the aisle, give the heart to you. Maybe others here, many of us, Lord, maybe some discouraged, maybe those that just not living for you with all their heart. I pray you speak to them as well. Have your will and way in our service now. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As I said there, we see some things there. And verse 29, he said this. He said that he prayed that Israel would consider. He said, that they would just consider their latter end. One day we're all going to come to a point in our life where we breathe our last breath, where we speak our last word, where we have our last thought. I always wondered what I'd be thinking about when that time comes. And, when you think about it, there's an end. And, in life, there's a lot. Life really is a series of beginnings and endings. All that. School is a good way to look at that. When we went to kindergarten when I was little, and, when it finally came time for kindergarten, there was a start of it and there was an end of it. And then I went to elementary school and, started out in elementary school and you went all the way up and back those days, the end of elementary school was seventh grade when I went to school. We didn't have junior high. They did the year after I went to high school, but you got to be seventh grade. You was the top dog. You were the oldest kids in the school, and then that was the end of that. And then we went on to high school, and I went to high school from eighth grade through the 12th grade. And you go to the eighth grade in high school, you're down at the bottom again. It was a start, and then you went to the end in college. It's the same thing in lots of places in life, jobs, all those things, vacations. You go out on vacation. Boy, the older I get, I know how fast time goes. And a lot of times when I go on vacation, I'm already sweating it because I know the end's going to be there before you know it, man. We get ready to go on when Kyle and I go on that that hunting trip. I'm driving down there already worrying about it. Nothing flat. It's going to be over with. And we're going to be coming back. And sure enough, you know, that's what happens. So everything's got a beginning and an end. We start our service, and thank God, here in a little bit, I'll be at the end of it. Get an amen right there. That's good. And you know, the Bible itself has a beginning. We start in Genesis, we end in Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. That's the end of it. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, 21, beginning and the end. And so Moses stated here that, you know, he wanted the children of Israel to consider the latter end. That's where he wanted them to concentrate. And I want us to talk to you about that this morning, that we would consider or think about the end of things, particularly the end of our life. And several points about it. The number one thing is, very first point is, destination determines direction. Destination determines direction. You know that God, you know what, you look in Isaiah 46, you can go over there, verse 9 and 10, I'll show you something about that. He said this, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." He said he declared the end from the beginning. And so from that verse, we see this, that you know what? That God declared the beginning after he determined the end. He knew the end before the beginning even started. That God knows more about what's going to happen to us tomorrow than we know more about what's going to happen to us today. God knows more about that. I want you to see this too. And this is a good note that we notice that God planned. You know, God planned things. That's a point, for us to take that. You know, we need to plan for things in life. You know, a lot of us know a lot about that. But you know, the one thing people don't plan for a lot of times in life is the end. Amen. You know, we're not planning for that, you know, that far down the road. We got to plan. But you know, we do it in other areas of our life. You know what? Destination determines direction. When we go on vacation, when you get ready to go on vacation, you know what's the first thing you usually come up with? It's not how to get there. It's the destination. Where am I going? You know, that's the first thing you plan for. You say, okay, this is where we're going to go. That's the end of it. And then we start planning on how we're going to get there. If you've never driven there before, you might get a map or you got GPS. At least you got something, you know, planned to go. And you start determining all those things. And so when you go out of the driveway, the destination determines which way you turn, right or left, or wherever main road you get to, you got to get to. That destination determines which way you go from that point forward. So your destination determines the direction that you go. And when you end up in life, where you end up in life is determined by which direction you go now. See, we got to look at the end and say, what's it going to be like at the end? And you know, it's hard. This is the hardest thing for young people, like you young people up here in the front. The hardest thing for you guys a lot of times is, and I'll talk about this more in a minute, it's hard to think that far because you think, man, I got a lot of time to think about that. The problem is that young people die every day. You know, that, I mean, you know, God forbid, but I mean, you know, they do. There's sicknesses and everything that affects everybody. Sicknesses, disease, and accidents, and all those things happen to young people. It's just the way they do. We think we have a lot of time, and so we really don't want to think that far down the road. But you know what? The Bible, and God's telling us here in His Word, we need to think about those very things. Ecclesiastes 7:8, the Bible says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof." Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And in that sense, God determined Revelation before He determined Genesis. Now, I don't think God had to have a pecking order. He probably had it all sorted out at one time, unlike we do. So, destination determines direction. The second thing, the end, is the most important thing. Ecclesiastes 7:8 would point that out. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish that really counts. And the one thing that you will notice when you get older, or you should notice when you get older, and you should be more concerned about each passing day the older you get. You know, because, like I said, once again, when you're young, you think you have a lot of days. And, you know, we're world famous for putting things off as people. We put things off. But the older you get, you start realizing, you know what, there's less time out there than I think. And so for young people, and some of you have already got to this point, And you might consider yourself young, and there's all of us here, a lot of us can think about this, some of you can't. But what I'm trying to get you guys to think about, particularly younger people, is think about when you're going to be 70 or 80, or if you live long enough, and no guarantee we'll get there, or 90 years old. Start thinking about what about at that time? You know, when I used to think it was so far away. I remember, you know, when birthdays would come along, when you're in your 20s, oh, the big 3-0, whoopee. You know, the big 3-0, woo. Huh, that was a rear feel. I like to go back to the big 3-0, right? I can't even count backwards back that far. Huh? And then it was the big 4-0, and then the big 5. I'm a quit. You know, I got one more year and it's the big 6-0. And you know what? I don't feel a whole lot different than I did at the big 5-0. When you get right down to it, it's just a number anyway. But I thought when you do it like this, I want y'all to do some math. I know we're not good at it. Get your phones out and calculator. But, you know, I turned 59 in September. And, you know, that don't sound, when you're young, you know, 59, good night, he's got one foot in a grave and one on a banana peel. I know you think I'm about to go. But when you're like 40 or when you're like in the 50s, you know, you think, you know, 59, still a young guy. We'll read him in the paper, still a young guy. But if you add 11 years to that, I'll be 70. In 11, and I might add quick, short Amen. Years, Amen. If God don't kill me on the way, I'll be 70 years old. My wife said one, she was talking, we like to go elk hunting and everything, and she said, well, you know, maybe you ought to take a day off. I said, honey, I ain't got that many more years I can take off. It ain't going to be that long, I'm not going to be able to go. I said, I won't be able to go out there and do it, sit in a truck, but I don't see anything. You know, that's about it. I mean, you know, I said, I can't take them off now because I don't have that many left to go on. And so, you know what, when you look at it that way, man, 70. Well, you know, I mean, some people, I'm hoping I'll be good, you know, going strong at 70. You know, Brother Richardson, man, he's 80, and he's all over the place, man. I'm hoping I do like that, you know, do that good. But, you know, it used to seem like a long way off. When you're very young, you young people, you have a tendency to think about the front half of life. See, because you got some things in front of you coming up, those of you who are getting a little bit older. You know, oh, first thing, you want to graduate. Then it's like, you know, maybe you go to college or go to that, or, you know, and I want to get married and I want to have a family and I want to have kids and all that. You know, so you're looking at this very front half, you focused on that. And so it's harder for you to focus. See, once you get all that out of the way, it's easier to focus at the end. But, you know, you need to start really thinking. And this is the amazing thing. Time will start speeding up on you. It will start. When I was a kid, like a year took forever. For school to get out, and then the summer blew by pretty fast. But it just took, but man, I'm telling you what, now, I said several times this year, probably already, I know why people keep their Christmas lights up year round, because by the time you get them packed, it seems like you got to drag them back out. In my attic, they're right there at the top of the attic. That's the first thing you see, because I know it ain't going to be long, be dragging them back out. So I got them right there. Some of them probably aren't even in the attic yet, by the way. And they probably won't be when Christmas comes. But, you know, you think about that, and you think about those, you need to start thinking about the latter half of life, because it's not how you start, you know, it's how that you finish. You know, King Saul, he started off very well, but he finished very bad. Psalm 37, you can write this down, you don't have to turn there, but in Psalm 37, it's a good psalm to look at concerning this topic of, you know, thinking about the end. Concerning the wicked, several verses, I didn't write them all down, but I wrote a couple of them. Verse 9 of Psalm 37 says, evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 10 says, yet for a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. And verse 13 says, he seeth that his day, talking about the wicked, is coming. He seeth that his day is coming. And then verse 38 says, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. And then concerning the righteous, Psalm 37 says, the Lord, in verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. In verse 37 of Psalm 37 says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know, here's a good psalm right here, a good verse right here. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right. And you know how many people listen? There's a lot of people that follow their feelings in a lot of things that they do. You know, they say, well, you know what? It just feels right. You know what I mean? It just feels right, or it feels like it's the right thing. It seems right, instead of really following the directions for life. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can get geographically disoriented, and we can also get spiritually disoriented. I've got turned around in the woods, and I was telling Rick I was going to use this illustration. There's a place in Colorado we go, and there's this ridge that's running straight down, and it parallels the trail that we go up. And you go up there, and when you're standing there, and you know the truck geographically is down there, you know, a mile or so down there. You don't know how, it's way down there. And so we figured a couple times we did this. We said, well, we'll just drop over on this side down in the dark timber. We will hunt our way out that side. And when we get down there where we think it's about far enough, we will cut just straight across that one ridge and we'll be at the truck. Well, invariably for 2-3 years in a row, we would do this little trip and we would get down there and then we would start going left. And we was up a ridge and down, and we was up a ridge and down, and we was up a ridge and down, thinking, man, the truck can't be that far. And the GPS now, Global Positioning System, is telling us to keep hooking left. And we keep telling the GPS, it don't know what it's talking about. We don't got to go left, we got to keep going straight. Because you know why? Because it just seemed like that's the way you ought to go. It felt like that's the way you got to go. And then you'd go and think, well, I don't know. We keep going downhill and the truck can't. And so we started following the directions. And sure enough, it brought us out to the truck. And one day, a couple years ago, about 2-3 years ago, I was at the bottom. I said, I'm going to go backwards. I went back up that thing and like I thought. And I was getting there. I knew there's a horse trail at the top. And I said, well, I should be getting to the horse trail because I'm getting to the crest of the ridge and the horse trail's down below the crest of the ridge and you can't miss it. And I'm getting there. And I'm getting. And finally I pop out. And it all dawned on me. What happened was there's this little ridge that starts veering off when we get in that dark timber, but you don't realize you're on it. And you think you're on the side of the big ridge. And this thing is gradually taking you farther and farther away. And so that when we finally went left of the truck, And we'd always go invariably too far past where the truck we actually thought the truck was, so we always had to go back. And you know, there's a good lesson in life right there. Because there's a way in life that seems right, and it might not be that far off track at the very first, but it just sort of gradually gets you going and going and going. And the directions, the GPS for life right here, the God's positioning system, if you will, is telling you to go another way. And you don't want to listen to it because you think you know what way you ought to go. This past year, me and Kyle, we went out there and it was all snowy. And we're in a wilderness area. It's the one place when I go on this trip in Virginia where I will use my GPS and mark the trail that goes down because everything looks the same. Big flat place. And it was snow on the ground and Kyle was there and I went around. There's this ridge. Another one of them straight ridges, you know, in your mind. One of them straight ridges, and it's wide. And so I went around it. In my mind, I went all the way around it like this, and I got straight across from where Kyle was, and I came up over the top, and I was going to be coming right down to Kyle, and my GPS kept telling me to go left. I said, this stupid thing. I started going left. I said, no, man, it ain't right, because you know why? Because it looked right going that way. And then finally, Kyle, he's done got worried about me. Our radios had got messed up somehow, and I could hear him talking, but he couldn't hear me. So he gets in where he said, well, I'm just going to shoot my gun. Les said there was cliffs. He thought I fell off a cliff. And he shot his gun. Well, I heard the gun. I said, aha, that's where Kyle's at. I'm right. The GPS is wrong. I started getting down there to Kyle. He goes, oh, yeah, we talked about what happened. I said, all right, let's go. I take off in this direction. Kyle said, no, we got to go this way. Well, that's what my GPS has been telling me all along, to go that way. And I kept saying it was wrong because what it was, I didn't come straight across the top of that mountain. I went off on the end where I thought I was doing one thing. See, and so God's got a direction for life, see. But there's a way that seems right unto us that's not the way that what the direction says. And so that's how what happens in life. And when you do it, guess what? You're not going to get to the destination. You're not going to get, I would have never come out to the truck. I'd still be in Grayson County right now walking around looking for my truck if I had gone the way I thought was right instead of going with the GPS the way it said. You know, you got to learn to believe the instrument. Now, my GPS tells me go left and right, whatever. I go whatever GPS said. Huh? Sometimes it'll get you just a little bit off. The Bible won't do this, but the GPS, but it'll get you pretty close. It'll get you pretty close. You know, there's a recipe. When you start talking about recipes, we got the thing I said about recipes. We're going to make some. You know, there's a recipe for life, and it's right here in the Bible. And you know, sometimes, if you ever made anything from a recipe, you don't know what you're making. You know, you're going to make a recipe. What do? You get the recipe book out. And it says, you know, cup of flour, cup of milk, so many eggs, so much whatever, you know. And you don't know. So you do just what the recipe says, hopefully. And you put it in there and you mix it like they say. And put it in the oven and for the amount of time it says. And usually, you know, it'll come out pretty good. But what about if you just took a bunch of ingredients you didn't know nothing about? I mean, you just throw some of this and some of that in and some of that and mix it up for this amount of time. You didn't know how long to cook it and all that. You want to eat something like that? Huh? You just, I mean, sometimes you say, well, I've done that and it come out all right. But I bet you can do it also and it didn't come out all right either. Some of you probably say, well, that's how I do it, preacher. it might not come out right. And you know, when you look at people's lives, how many people pour all kinds of ingredients into their life and just hope at the end that everything's going to come out all right? I see it's the same. No, listen, there's a recipe for life. You know, go buy, if I'm going to cook something, I'm going to tell you what, I am going to follow the directions. Because if it's something I don't know how to do, if it comes to baking anything, I'll probably have to follow the directions for just about everything. The third point is this, consider the end. Goes along with the title. Consider the end. You know, the focus of our life should be the end. The focus of our life should be the end. You know, how many of you do this? How many of you read a book? Have you ever read, you start reading a book and you just can't wait to find out, you know, your curiosity. So you go back to the end and you kind of read some of those end pages of the book to kind of find out how it turned out. So that way you can kind of, because like maybe the hero or the heroine is getting in trouble, so you zip down to the end to see if they made it, and then you go back and you finish reading the rest of the book. Some of them do that. I don't do it. I mean, I don't. I think all those people are people that open their Christmas presents before Christmas, by the way. But you know what? Here's the thing about this book right here. And you know, running your life with these directions right here, you can do that. You can go to the end of the book and find out how it's all going to turn out. That's a good thing. You don't have to wait till your life ends to find out how it's all going to turn out. You know, Jesus said some things. We got some guarantees in the Word of God about having eternal life and a home in heaven and a mansion and a place to stay and a place to live because Jesus Christ, if we put our trust and faith in Him, listen, man, I mean, you know what? If I'm going on vacation and I've never been to the place before, I know how to, I'll get the map or I'll use the GPS. I get a map. I'm old school. I just get the map. And the map says go this way, this way. I don't know what lies in between. I just know if I go that way, I'm going to get to that destination. You know, and the thing about life, you can look at the end and find out your destination ahead of time. If you trust Jesus Christ, you know you got a home. I don't know what's going to lie in between. I know there's directions for us in life. And along the way, I don't know how many bumps, detours, mountains, and all that you got to get around, get over, get through to get there. But I know if you follow the directions, you'll get there. You know, that's it. So you can read the end to find out. That's encouragement there. There's encouragement for you there. You know, when you look at Job's life, there's several people in the Bible. Old Job, man, when Job started out at the very beginning, Job had it worse. At the beginning, he lost his family, all his children, his home, his wealth, and his health all in a day. That's a discouraging thing. But you know, if old Job would have had the book and flipped down there real quick and got all the way down to chapter 42, Job 42:12 says that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. And if you study that, you'll find out he had twice as many children, twice as much cattle. I don't know if his health was twice as good, but everything else was double, more than it was. That's encouraging because he knew the end or found out about the end of the story. Joseph, when you look at Joseph, man, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers, carried off into Egypt, went to Potiphar's house, was lied about, was arrested, thrown in jail. But boy, at the end of the story, he was the most powerful man in all the world. He was as Egypt was the most powerful nation in all the world, and he was right under Pharaoh. And he ended up being the salvation of his own brothers and sisters, his family. He saved us and a bunch of Israelites. He saved them because of the position he had risen to. Esther. Esther was a woman, a captive woman. She was living in a strange land, and she was taken in to be one of the women that the king would choose from to be his queen, and she was the one that was chosen. Esther was chosen, and she ended up being a queen of Persia. Went from being a captive to being a queen. Boy, the end was a whole lot better than the beginning was, being carried off into captivity. You know, all those people had rough beginnings, but in the end, you know, it made a difference because that's what they focused on and not the beginning. I ask you this question here. How many of you want to have good lives? The younger people particularly. Well, it's not too late for anybody. I read a sign the other day. I think it's in this little place down here. It used to be the IGA. It's never too late to... Somebody might have said, it's never too late to have a good rest of your life or something to that effect. It was never too late to have, you know, and you younger people that, you know, you got most of your life before you, hopefully you hadn't got married yet and you hadn't, you know, and all that stuff. Well, how many of you want to have a good life? I mean, I don't think anybody starts out saying, well, preacher, I just want to have a bad life. Just looking, you know, even us older, I just want to have a bad life. Nobody says that, right? I mean, I don't think. We all want to have a good life. You want to have a good marriage. That's good. You want to have, you want to be good parents. Say, boy, I can't wait. I want to have kids. You want to be a good parent. Well, let me ask you this. How are you going to do it? You got a plan. What is your plan for life? All, even us older people, listen, I mean, some of you still raising your kids say, well, I'd like to be a better parent. Maybe I could be a better parent. Probably all of us could say. How are you going to do it? What's your plan? Huh? You got to go by the recipe. Huh? Say, well, you know, because I've never, you know what, when we got married, we hadn't been married before. When we had kids, we hadn't had kids before. It was trial and error. Heavy on the error. So what do you do? Like, you're going to make a cake you never made one for? What? Go by the recipe. You never been married before? Go by the recipe. You never had never had kids before, even if you've been married before. Obviously, it didn't pan out that good if you've been married more than once. So that didn't work. So let's try going by the recipe, right? Let's go by the book. You know, ingredients for a happy marriage and home. A husband who's the spiritual leader in the home. Loving his wife like Christ loved the church. He honors his wife. He encourages his wife. A wife that honors her husband and doesn't put him down, but lifts him up and encourages him and cares for him. Man, that sounds like good ingredients to me. I said, that sounds like good ingredients for me. Oh, but preacher, what if he or she's not perfect? The Bible didn't say that they had to be. It didn't say if. It said do it. I got news for you, folks. There's only one perfect husband in all the world, and my wife's married to him, so I mean, you know. I'm telling you right now. So, you know, the rest of you, I'm sorry, but there's not any. You know, what if he's not perfect? Well, you know, listen, there's a way that seems right? But it's not. There's no perfect ones. Let me help you guys out. I'm going to help the husbands and the wives out. Try this one right here. It's in the ingredients. Sometimes it gets overlooked. Try a little praise. Huh? What is that? I don't know who'd be saying it. The one supposed to give it or the one going to get it? Huh? What's wrong with a little praise? How about, you know, and let your spouse hear it? Praise them for something. I mean, dig, whatever you got to, you know, find something. Praise them for something and let them hear it. Man, boy, that would go a long way. Listen. God has a recipe for a happy life, a happy home, a happy marriage. Just follow the recipe. Parents, this is a good one for you. You know, I got news for you. You're not raising children. You're raising adults. You getting this? You're not raising children. You are raising adults. And part of the problem in society today is that we think we're raising kids. We're always raising kids. The kid gets to be 21 years old. He doesn't know how to dress for anything. He doesn't know how to talk or act for anything because we've been raising them at kids. And we think sooner or later they're just going to come around to. No, what you are doing, you are trying to get to an end product. And the end product, do you want a child or an adult? No, you want an adult. You're raising adults. Listen, young people, you want to have a happy home, a happy marriage, a happy family, a happy life. How are you going to have it? Think it's just going to be like evolution? It's just going to like evolve? Or is there something, is there some recipe, some plan, some planning or some steps or direction I need to go to have it? There's a direction you need to go to have it. Consider the end. Consider the end of your sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. The world philosophy is live hard, die young, and have a good-looking corpse. I'm going to tell you, the beginning of sin may be fun, but I'm going to tell you what, the end's not. I watch these documentaries on TV. And they always have one on National Geographic, Drugs, Inc. I always watch that. And I was watching these crack addicts, you know, after they've been a crack addict a long time. I mean, man, you talking about looking rough. Teeth all rotted out of their heads. Their skin's all wrinkled up. They're all shriveled up, skin and bones, because they hadn't eaten anything. And they're down there with a crack pipe. And they're crying about it. They're weeping. They're saying, man, I just can't quit. I just can't. And they can't. I mean, you know, I mean, they could have been somehow, but I mean, it's so. And you know what? When they took that first hit, you know what they wanted? They wanted to have fun. I just want to have fun. I just want to get high. It's exciting, boy, you know. They didn't say, hey, I want to become an old shriveled up, toothless looking, look like I'm 50 years older than I really am person living in a cardboard box on the side of a road somewhere. They didn't say that. They didn't consider the end of what they started. There was this one guy on there, he was a heroin addict. This guy was living in a cardboard box. He limped everywhere he went. Man, he looked rough, unshaved hair, looked like he got combed it with a firecracker every day. And he was rough looking as all get out. And you know what he said? He said, I used to be a Wall Street broker. I had a Mercedes Benz. I had a wife and a family. I had a big old house. He said, and I started doing heroin. When he shot that heroin in his arm the first time, he's just looking for a high. He's just looking to have fun. He wasn't thinking, man, you know what? I just want to lose my whole family and lose my big house and my car, and I want to live in a cardboard box down on the side of some alley somewhere in some city. They had him right on TV talking. He said, man, I've just lost it all. I sunk it all into drugs. I lost everything. That wasn't the plan. But now he didn't consider the end. Listen, all sin is that way. There's a way that seems right. Adam and Eve didn't consider the end when they ate of the forbidden fruit. Cain murdered Abel because he didn't consider the end. Achan stole a garment and some wedges of gold or silver because he didn't think about the end. Samson fooled around with Delilah because he didn't consider the end. David committed adultery with Bathsheba because he didn't consider the end. Judas betrayed Jesus Christ because he didn't consider the end. Last little point, next to the last point. You need discretion to get to the end. Discretion is the ability to choose wisely. Proverbs, that's a good book. I was talking to Rick about that, and he said he does it with the teens, use that. But, you know, Proverbs is a good book for anybody to study, but particularly for young people or if you want wisdom. You know what? You could take the book of Proverbs and study the book of Proverbs and become a wise person by following what the book of Proverbs said. If you didn't study another book in school, if you just studied the book of Proverbs, it's a good book. It's concentrated wisdom in that book. And you need discretion in dating, marriage, jobs, places you go, what you watch, what you eat. Think about your life. Think about this. Where are you going to be in 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? I remember when I had a profound moment when I was in the service. And I was in Sicily, and I worked at the fire department. And one of the fire departments was at the runway where the airplanes came and went, fighter jets and all that. And the crash crew was there, which was, they fought the fire, emergency aircraft fire, and we would back them up. And part of my duty I had was we had a tower like the tower at the air traffic control tower. We had a crash control tower where you could control the crash scene. And part of our duty was somebody manned that tower 24 hours a day. It was watches. I was on like midnight to 4 in the morning watch in the tower. Got that green light shining up, those slanted windows. And there by myself. You got time to think, man. I sat down, had my feet propped up on the thing. I was single in my 20s, early 20s. And I was thinking, all of a sudden it hit me. You know, and I said to myself, I remember it clear as like it was yesterday. In 10 years from now, you know, where am I going to, in 10 years from now, I'll probably be married to I didn't know who. 10 years from now, I'll probably have a house. 10 years from now, I mean, when you're in your early 20s, you figure, 10 years from now, I'll probably have kids. You know, 10 years from now, where am I going to? I just, it was like a profound moment that I thought about that. Well, you know, that's what I'm trying to get you to think now. Where are you going to be in 10? Where are you going to be in 20, 30, 40? Some of us aren't going to have 40, but, you know, we're not going to have, you know, that many more. Think about it. And the last point, realize how quickly the end will be here. Realize how quickly the end will be here. Billy Graham was asked what was the most profound thing about life, and he said, how quickly time passes. How quickly time passes. That's something to think about right there. James 4:14 says this, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You know, I used to be the young pastor at all the preacher meetings. I remember when I first started, every preacher meeting I went to, I was the youngest guy. I was the young pastor. "Oh, this is a young pastor down here at Valley View Baptist. How you doing?" Didn't have a gray hair on my head, had just a mustache. I was all grinning, man, you know. Now, you know, now I'm not the young guy, almost. But some matter of fact, when we go to the, when they have the senior pastor at Bible camp, you know, I'm like three on the pecking order from being, and I'm right behind a couple of them on being the senior pastor at Bible camp. You know, time, it just goes by. I thought the other day, I thought about my dad. I was thinking about dad, and I just remembered a specific time when we were hunting together and sitting up there on, I was probably 13, sitting on the side of the mountain trying to look for deer, and I heard dad up there making a bunch of noise. I looked up there and he had a rock and there was a bunch of walnuts, walnut tree out there, and he got walnuts, he was cracking them open. "Hey, Dad, you know, we're trying to kill a deer, cracking walnuts, not real conducive to that." But I just thought about it, man. It was just like, it seemed like yesterday. It's just like yesterday that my, you know, I thought about both my parents. I was telling Sherry the other day, my happy little home in Virginia Beach where I grew up, you know, the house we grew up in. You know, here was a whole family. My mom, my dad, and me. I was a little boy. I was like 3 or 4 years old when they bought that house, and I lived there until I moved away from home. I was 18, and then they stayed there until my mom died in 2003. There's a whole family that lived in that neighborhood. My parents are gone now. My parents are gone. You know, the whole family's, it's just a whole life, a whole generation that's, I mean, I'm still alive, but I'm gone from there, you know, at that place. You ever notice this? We go down to the funeral home and somebody passed away, and now they make these CDs just about all the time. You take a bunch of pictures in. And they usually have, they start out when they were very, very young, babies, and on up through their years, and, you know, right up to the current time, usually before they passed away. Their whole life is on a CD. And even the long ones are done in about 10 minutes. They make their loop in about 10 minutes. That's really kind of how it is. Your whole life is gone in like 10 minutes. Wrapped up, encapsulated in 10 minutes time. That's how fast life goes by. Last thing here in closing. When you take time to consider the end, unless you take time to consider the end, you will not be what you ought to be today. Let me ask you this, what path are you on? Everybody's on a path in life. You're on a road, if you know. We're on a road in life. On the road that you're on, look to the end. What's the end of that road? What's at the end of that road if you stay on the road you're on in this life today? What's it going to be? Consider the end. Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed.